Thank you very much for coming to this session. It is the last day of the conference, and at the conference of this scale, it's always, you know, challenging to compete for attention. So we are all very grateful that you're with us here. And you probably are wondering why you're going to hear about interpreter certification. Right? It's a shift in the presentations at this conference. We're very grateful that APHA recognizes that when we have the conversations about public health, about health of all nations, we need to keep track of all the components and all the players. And when you deliver care to patients and communities, oftentimes, and more nowadays, you need to have the link that connects you with that community if they don't speak English. And the interpreter is that critical link that sometimes is overlooked. And I'll give you the most recent example of how easy it is to forget who also needs to be included in the conversations. The country is talking about Ebola, right? And the public is talking about it. The healthcare professionals are talking about it. But have anyone invited interpreters to participate in training on Ebola? They're the ones who will be interpreting those words to the patients. So that is how critical this understanding that for healthcare administration and management of public health and healthcare to keep track of all the players. So I have no relations to disclose at this time, and I want to start talking to you about the healthcare interpreting industry and the national certification process. Certification is a response to language access requirements, which you know that Title VI of the Civil Rights Act and the corresponding DHHS guidance and executive order, also national class standards, cultural and linguistically appropriate services standards. They all mandate that providers need to ensure meaningful access to healthcare for patients with limited English proficiency. And meaningful is the key word here. We have moved from the times when we needed just to have a paper saying that we have an LEP policy on file to the time where we are implementing it, and actually different accrediting bodies and auditors are looking at, okay, you have the LEP policy, but what do you actually do? How do you know that your patients who don't speak English get interpreters, and how do you know what quality of interpreter services do they get? Because meaningful access depends on competency of interpreters. There's even specific language in both of these two documents that I'm quoting. DHHS guidance says, recipients should be aware that competency requires more than self-identification as bilingual. In other words, it's not enough to say that, oh, I speak Spanish, I speak Russian, I can interpret for your patient. It is important for you as the provider, as an institution, organization, to have documentation of how you assess the competency of that individual who's providing the services. If you think about it, you have on your HR departments have on file qualifications for everybody from food service to environmentalists to clinicians, but do you have documentation of the quality of your interpreters? Class Standard 7 also says that we need to ensure competence of individuals providing interpreters language assistance. Yet our profession as healthcare interpreters is very new in this country. I would like you to think of the 70s when the social work profession was just emerging and formalized. That's where we are right now. The National Code of Ethics for Healthcare Interpreters was adopted in 2004. I moved to this country from Russia in 1996, and back there I was teaching English, Russian interpreting and translation, and I came here and I realized that, you know, my degrees and all my things pretty much put me at the same level as any immigrant who came off the plane and say, hey, I speak Russian, I can interpret, and they will be hired, and they will be paid, and they will be interpreting, and nobody knows whether they would be doing it correctly. So in 2004, the first National Code of Ethics was developed. Then we held across the country different forums discussing what can we do to make sure that everybody recognizes that interpreting is a profession in its own right. And in 2009, my organization, Certification Commission for Healthcare Interpreters, was founded with a mission to develop and administer certification program at a national level. We conducted the first job task analysis because, unlike health specialties and professionals, we don't have any scientific studies and research saying what is it that interpreters do that differentiates them from people who speak two languages. So that study, which had about 2,500 respondents, helped us define what is it that makes us an interpreter in healthcare compared to an interpreter, let's say, in courts. And we developed, based on that study, we developed examinations and awarded the first credentials in 2011. We also recognized that just saying that we are a great certification program won't work. We went to a third party, the National Commission for Certifying Agencies, NCCA. It's the same body which accredits certification programs for other professionals, including nurses, including various healthcare allied professionals. And we got recognition and accreditation for our Spanish certification exam. Another challenge we had was the fact that in our profession we didn't have continuing education. You know, if you think about even beginning education, even right now across the United States there may be 20, 25 programs which teach medical interpreting at college level. Usually it's community college, and they are 99% Spanish. So for folks who speak Swahili, Burmese, Kirundi, there's no hope to get education and continuing education, even if they become certified. So in 2013, with the help of the grant from the Kaiser Permanente, we developed the first continuing education accreditation program. And we are accrediting programs that are now meant for nurses, but if they intersect, like a lot of things, including, you know, infectious diseases, including new procedures and regulations for health and healthcare, qualify for our continuing education. And then this year we accredited the core certification, which is the introductory certification into our profession. So just to give you the overview of our values, we are meant to administer and deliver the national certification, which is recognized in every state. It is a valid examination because it measures what it intends to measure. It was created for interpreters, by interpreters, and for the public good, and it's vendor neutral. In other words, we don't have any commercial or other stakeholders' interests represented in our program. We have a three-step competency assurance process. Eligibility, because the profession is so new, our eligibility requirements are kind of low compared to other professions. We require candidates to be 18 years of age, to have language proficiency into languages, to have a high school diploma or its equivalent from any country, and the healthcare interpreting education component is only 40 hours of healthcare interpreter training, because in many states, interpreters cannot get even that. Then the second component is actually our certification examinations, and lastly, we have recertification requirements. Our certification is valid for 4 years, and you need to provide proof of continuing education and work experience to be recertified. So what is the situation now in the country when we look at the number of certified interpreters? When I speak about the numbers, some people are shocked that it's too low, others that it's too high. So we have over 1,600 certified interpreters in the country. It is too low if you think of the number of patients who need interpreters, or even the number of clinics and public health departments in this country. That means like not every one of you have ever seen a certified interpreter. But it is too high if we compare it. I mean, it's never too high, but it's high compared to court interpreting profession. The United States government mandated in early 80s that court interpreters who interpret for federal courts need to be certified. And since that time, there has been a certification process. And as of now, there are still less than 1,000 certified court interpreters in the United States. And what I usually say is that the good thing is that not every one of us will commit a federal crime. All right, but every person who lives in this country will come to a hospital or public health because, you know, we get sick, we need to have flu vaccines, we deliver babies, so we cannot afford as a country to not to have a quality workforce as interpreters. We offer two certifications, as I said, core certification healthcare interpreters, which is available for interpreters of any language. In other words, you don't have to wait for an exam to be created to get certified. And then certified healthcare interpreter program, which is language specific and currently is available for Spanish, Arabic, and Mandarin interpreters. So what's the correlation between the certification and the quality of care and patient safety? Because that's ultimately our goal too. We don't exist without you, without patients, without communities. Well, the important thing, as I already said, it's available for all languages, so nobody is excluded from the services. It is available for interpreters who work in different modalities, face-to-face, telephonic, and video. Personally, when I worked with a refugee resettlement agency in Summit County, Ohio, the majority of the appointments that our refugees had were for a week, and they used the telephonic interpreters. And the question always was, how quality is assured on that end, because these are the vendor which came from the state. We have no idea what is the quality. So it's important for us at the national level when we develop this program that it addresses all modalities of interpreting for any state and for interpreters working in any settings in healthcare or health, because when we developed the questions for our exams, we had subject matter experts who worked in different settings. So we do have the situations, the scenarios which deal with outreach to communities, with flu clinics, with delivery of services for refugees, because we didn't want to have the exam just about medical terminology, because ironically interpreting is not just about medical terms. And also the certification is available regardless of whether interpreter is your staff, contractor, or volunteer, because ultimately under Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, you as a provider are responsible for ascertaining the quality of the services you provide, and it doesn't matter how. So let me give you a brief overview of what we test on our exams. The core certification exam is multiple choice, and it's computer-based, it's administered in English, and these are areas that we actually measure. At the foundation is critical thinking and ethical decision-making abilities, because it is very important for the interpreter who links the two worlds, two cultural worlds, two linguistic worlds of the patient and the provider, to be able to understand their limitations, and also to be able to facilitate the communication between the two. Cultural responsiveness, because it is not helpful to you to just get the words translated. You need to understand the context for the community. Like, for example, one of our refugees went to the health screening, and was asked the question, do you have any milk in the house for your baby? And she said, no, I don't. So, of course, it's a shocking revelation. But then, the conversation flowed, and the interpreter was able to clarify that because this is the refugees from Southeast Asia, and usually milk and lactose products, the dairy products, are not popular in their diet, and many of them are lactose intolerant, they have soy products. Soy milk, not cow milk, but the word for milk is different than the word for soy milk in the language. So it's important to understand. And when you ask the question, you're asking the question taking into account the cultural aspect. And interpreters are tested to know if they're able to be a help to you. Ability to prepare for and manage an interpreted encounter, effective communication skills with other healthcare professionals, patients, and their families, and also knowledge of medical terminology. In fact, on our exam, medical terminology is only 25% of the exam. The rest is dedicated to the other areas because we rely on you, since you have the mandate to provide information to patients at the literacy level that is comfortable for the patient. That means interpreters don't need to have PhDs in medicine. They can always ask for clarification, and they will be interpreting so that the patient can understand. And that's why we focus on the other areas of interaction within healthcare. And we're very cognizant of the fact that, yes, our exam distinguishes a healthcare interpreter from a bilingual, because on our exam we have specific questions which deal with safety precautions, universal protocols, HIPAA, in other words, all these areas that are typical just specifically for health, working in different settings, including with health departments, hospitals, community outreach, what are the regulations in those areas. And as I already said, critical thinking and decision-making abilities, because interpreter is a member of the care team. They are they try to be invisible so that you can have effective communication directly with the patients, but they're there. And if they're not recognized as a valuable team member, then the quality of your care would suffer. The second exam we have is a language-specific oral certification for Spanish, Arabic, and Mandarin interpreters. And interpreters of those languages first have to pass and take and pass the core CHI exam, and then have the oral performance exam, which measures the following skills, because as any profession, we have different skills. Consecutive interpreting is the type when the interpreter waits till the speaker finishes and then they start interpreting. So one speaks after the other, and it's used 90% of the communication in health. Sight translation and written translation skills. These are the situations when you give the English-speaking patient a form and tell them to fill it out. If the patient doesn't speak English, then the interpreter does it orally and then writes the answers in that form. Or if it is, let's say, discharge instructions or patient education materials, that's done orally, and we check the ability of the interpreter to do that. And then simultaneous interpreting skills, that's when the interpreter interprets at the same time as the speaker. And that is a very important component because it is used by an interpreter, or at least it should be used by an interpreter in emotionally charged situations. If you think of it, any situation can become emotionally charged. A person can start crying or get angry, and you can't really say, wait a second, don't cry, I need to interpret now, right? Or don't yell for a minute, let me interpret what you just said to the provider. So it's important to switch and be able to interpret at the same time. Mental health encounters, when you deal with especially psychotic patients who speak in the language that is not cohesive and hard to understand, you need an interpreter who will be able to keep up with the patient and interpret at least those words that they understand versus telling you something like, oh, this patient makes no sense. That's not interpreting. And then emergency departments and emergency medicine. The questions I would like you to ask yourselves and your departments and your systems when you go back home is, do you know how competency is assessed for your staff, if you have any? Or if you're dealing with contractors, even the big ones like Language Line, telephonic contractors, do you know what they use? Do they have certified interpreters? Until 4 years ago, the answer could be, well, they have their own exam, right? But now there is the national standard. Do they encourage interpreters and to become certified nationally? Because national certification offers consistency, validity, and also encourages workforce development because it requires continuing education. Just to finish off with some stats, if we look at the top 10 multicultural states, the states which where the population speaks English language other than English at home. You see California, they're at 44%, and you know, Texas at 35%. And compared to the number of certified interpreters, we have a very sad picture. You know, we have almost 43 million patients who need interpreters, and they are supposed to be served by 622 certified interpreters. That's why we came here to tell you about this and to encourage you to ask questions so that you get involved in improving the quality of communication with your interpreters. And on our website, from any page, you can click Find a Certified Interpreter, and you can see if you have interpreters in your state who are certified and how to reach out. So I have my information. It's also on the website, and I have cards later to give you. Because we also work, if you do have staff interpreters at any level, we provide group discounts if you support certification and purchase exams. So thank you very much.